Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is 95.7 The Game. Here are your hosts, Nash Solomon and Tommy Call.
Oh, yes, sir. Locked and loaded, ready to roll right here on 95.7 The Game. Yours truly, Nash Solomon, alongside my brother, TC3, Tommy Call, on a wild card weekend Saturday.
You are bouncing, bouncing around the studio.
Up and down. Woo! Now, I know we are a station that covers the 49ers full intently at all moments. But luckily enough for 49er fans and for the 49er faithful, Tommy, they're on a bye week.
Yeah.
So all eyes for 49er fans will be tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Considering that the NFC plays tomorrow, it's the Seahawks in Philly, and it'll be Minnesota and the New Orleans Saints. And that game will dictate everything for the 49ers' first playoff game. But today's Saturday, we got a little wild card weekend on a Saturday. Before these games start, we want to dive in on them. Mm. We want to see what you guys are watching. I want to hear what you're saying. You're wearing a Ryan Tannehill jersey right now.
Oh, you just had to out me on air away.
It's a Dolphins Tannehill jersey because I, Nash Solomon, am a diehard New England Patriots fan. I never wear jerseys. Yeah. I'm wearing my Brady jersey today. But you know what,
I had to troll a little bit. But I mean, it's funny you brought up the 49er fans. I'd love to hear what you're doing today because you got to be showing up to the party today, right? If you're going to a wild card party, your friends invite you. Hey, come watch the wild card game. I'm going to show up. You're walking in like Stephen A. Smith, that video, you know, all you're kicking your feet up a little bit, like, what's up, what's good, you know, we don't have to play today. Oh, you guys have to play today, ha ha. You 49er fans have to be feeling, you know, patting themselves on the back
as
a little
Matt
bit
would say,
and you actually
themselves.
For how many, you know, how many games in a row these guys have played close games, battles down to the wire, week in and week out, and now this week you get to cool out a little bit. You don't have to stress. You can just watch and soak it up, baby. And it's wild card weekend, Nasher. If you're a football fan, you don't have a dog in the fight. Everybody's picking that team they want to win right now. Everybody's getting behind that, you know, that underdog, that fan, whether it is the Titans and Ryan Tannehill or whatever it is, because it's just such a good week of football, baby.
It's playoff football is here. We love January.
And it hurts to say because the regular season's over, your fantasy team might be donezo, but get it fired up again. Launch FanDuel, launch DraftKings, get after it a little bit.
Get the parlays rolling.
Yeah.
It's wild card weekend Saturday, and it's funny that you mentioned
that. And you got Warriors, Nash.
We got the Warriors tonight, too. We'll lead you right up to Warriors pregame with the great John Diggington and Whitey Gleason, who literally just finished the show. They're on their way to Chase Center, and they're getting back after it.
Wow.
That's two pros if you want to talk about
two pros. Yeah, JD had his full fit in here that he's changing into, getting ready for game time.
Always has the Blazers.
Yeah, this is like morning shoot around for them.
Yeah, there's just a warm-up.
Yeah.
And what a great time it is to be in the Bay Area for sports. I mean, we got the wild card weekend, and you mentioned that the 49er fans get to chill out and relax on their couch. They've been able to do that for years and years, but guess what? This year they get to do it where they get to play a game next week.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. But I'm curious if you're a 49er fan. Obviously, let's go through all the games first and foremost before we jump ahead to tomorrow's games. We got Buffalo at Houston. Tennessee is traveling to New England. Mm. By the way, Tommy, could be Brady's. Funny that I say Tommy because we're talking about Tommy Brady, too.
Stop.
Could be my boy Tommy Brady's last with the Patriots. So I'm not taking off this jersey.
Yeah.
As long as he's a Patriot.
Wow.
It's staying on. We got the Seahawks traveling to Philly tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's the one.
That's the grand finale. That's the game everybody's tuning into. That's the game you're getting fired up to watch. Tomorrow is kind of that big moment. I think we can all agree. I think you're more leaning from what we've talked, you know, before the show and whatnot. I'm kind of looking past a little bit that Saints-Vikings game. I don't think there's any way the Vikings really upset them. I think the Saints kind of walk through that game. So it really comes down to, you know, the 49er fan, you're picking sides at this point. You either want Russell Wilson, you want the Seahawks part three, you want to be the team to eliminate them, or the opposite foot is you don't want any part of that. You want the Eagles, you think it's going to be an easier matchup. Are you an Eagles fan tomorrow, or are you a Seahawks fan?
Yeah, and maybe we shouldn't look past Vikings in New Orleans.
I think we could,
but you always got to keep it in the back of your mind. The way I look at it is we're keeping a tab on that game.
No way Kirk Cousins beats Drew Brees in
New Orleans. I don't think so either. But
no way.
But guess what? If he does, it's no longer a gimme game, right? Because then, now you're playing a Kirk Cousins that can win the big game.
I would almost look at that as an anomaly. Honestly, I would be shocked to see that, and it wouldn't scare me. It would just show that maybe Breeze is fading. I would say the Saints beat themselves. Kirk Cousins and the Vikings do not beat the New Orleans
Saints.
Look at
you writing the narrative before the game even
happens. Let's go. That's what we do, baby.
So all eyes are on Seattle, Philly, right? That's where all the eyes are watching.
Yeah.
And you mentioned...
And then today, too, with the Patriots and the Titans, because there's just that question, is Brady done?
Well, and
it over?
And it's so relevant here, because let's not forget how John Lynch acquired Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, they're all connected.
Yeah, and it was a joking call, even though it was kind of a serious call to Bill Belichick. What does it take to get Tom Brady to be a 49er?
Yeah.
And the conversation ended pretty quick there, and they said, oh, what about Jimmy Garoppolo?
Wow.
And you got to imagine now, I mean, is Robert Kraft feeling maybe a little bit of regret seeing the way Jimmy has played?
No.
Because I agree with you. Because they obviously got the Super Bowl out of it.
Yeah.
And they maybe should have been two.
Two Super Bowls, right? Two, three straight, and two Super Bowls?
No, because Jimmy was on the Atlanta one.
Okay.
But it probably should have been two. They lost the one in Philly. Not should have been, but obviously Philly made one great play at the right time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is you're looking at. Jimmy Garoppolo could be the quarterback for the 49ers maybe for the next decade.
Yeah.
And maybe he can be Tom Brady. We don't know who Jimmy is in the playoffs yet. We'll find that out next week. But you got to imagine, a lot of 49er fans... I mean, Tom Brady's a local kid. He's not a kid anymore.
San Mateo, right?
There in Sarah High School. I mean, his family still lives out here. His pops is out here.
Yeah.
You got to imagine, a lot of Bay Area fans are keeping their eye on that game.
Our boy Butch loves Brady.
Loves Brady
because he's from the Bay Area.
Yeah, he's a peninsula guy. Our boy Butch is up there in Tahoe right now. I'm sure he's for sure tuned in listening. You know, he's P1 listener.
Oh, yeah.
He's a P1 listener. But Wildcard Weekend's fun. There's so many different things there's so many narratives to watch.
Yeah.
And I think we need to bring the conversation back to Seattle and Philly. And the thing that you mentioned that I thought was really interesting is, who are you rooting for? Is the competitor in you rooting for,
I
want to play Seattle the third time?
Yeah.
Or do you want the easy route and play the washed up Eagles? I say washed pretty loosely because, I mean, Carson Wentz is playing, he's a baller right now.
He's playing good right now.
But they're just injured.
Yeah, no wide receivers.
No,
Zach Ertz is going to play tomorrow, though.
That
was cleared before the show. I think I sent you that message that they cleared him officially. He's got lacerated spleen.
Is that
like
the world we live in now?
Like crazy injuries, like insane.
You can't just verbally tell me, you got to send me the tweet.
Well, it's just official. You know, I don't want people to think we're making stuff up over here.
As
you
the
know?
Great John Dickinson would say, we're sticklers for accuracy over here.
Yeah, exactly.
And that, my friend, is not a problem.
Yeah, we are products of our environment, you know.
So you said you have an answer.
I do.
Would you rather play the Eagles or the Seahawks? And first of all, 888-957-9570. That's the number to tap in. I want to ask the audience that same question. 95795. That's the Chilton Autobody text line. And also, we'll get an update from our boy Grant Cohn from the Santa Rosa Press Democrat. 220.
Yeah.
That's your guy.
That's our guy.
That's our guy.
Yeah,
you've known him a lot longer.
I've known him for a little while
now. For a little bit.
Loosely. We both worked at the Press Democrat together, never side by side or anything like that.
Kind of like us. We worked loosely together, but now we're doing a show together.
Yes,
so now
sir.
We're side by side.
And now, you know, working around him at the 49ers has been a great guy. Really good, like even a mentor type of role model. Like, been amazing out there.
And me and him are, we're very similar in a lot of ways. We have a lot of notoriety out here.
Oh, just bringing the takes? Is that what you're saying?
We're both coined as haters sometimes, but I think me and Grant just keep it real.
Yeah.
So that's a tease right there. Grant Cone 220, an interview you won't want to miss.
Yes, sir.
Your two most hated people talking to each other.
And at one point today, I want to dive in with you. Not yet. We're going to get there with some Jimmy Garoppolo in the playoffs, because I know you and I love to get into this one and argue a little bit about number 10. And I'm fired up because, like you said, what are the Patriots right now with Jimmy Garoppolo in this game? Is it a way different story? Is this the start of their decade run? If Jimmy Garoppolo's still on the New England Patriots, they're playing the Titans this week? Or
they're probably not playing the Titans this week.
Not sure. You know, the more we talk about it, the more we watch these guys. I am a Miami Dolphin fan, so I have seen a lot of Tom Brady. I've seen a lot of, is the Patriots dead? Are the Bills or the Dolphins or the Jets, are they going to take over this division? It never works out. And so until I actually see it with my own
Revenge of the Sith, baby.
When I see it with my two eyeballs, I will believe it. So that's why I'm not giving the Titans much of a chance today. I really think the Patriots roll them.
Wow.
I mean,
you're giving me some confidence.
Yeah,
please.
I do.
But it is kind of funny to look back and think about where the Patriots would be if Jimmy was still there, and where the 49ers would be. I mean, who would their quarterback be? Are they drafting Deshaun Watson, the quarterback that's playing today?
Cousins? Are they trying to make
finally,
that?
Yeah, yeah. They finally
are
roll all
spend
the money
that
for
money?
Kirk?
I think that would be the guy they would, you know, it seemed like at one point the 49ers were heavily linked to was Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, would John Lynch have been savvy enough to draft the unknown mystery prospect in Pat Mahomes, who's turned into a superstar?
Mm.
I mean, there's just a lot going on, but I teased the question, would you rather see the Eagles or the Seahawks tomorrow? I gave it to the audience. And they haven't chimed in yet, but it's your time to shine, baby.
So I want the Eagles, Nasher. I do. I excuse me. I do not want the Eagles. I want the Seahawks. I want part three. I think that you know this team. You know the Seattle team very well. They are banged up. Everything we said about the 49ers leading up to last week is they need a bye week. They're hurt. They're banged up. They're tired. Seattle's right there with them. The one thing, the one dominating factor, and here's the decision of what it comes down to me. Would you rather face a Russell Wilson-led Seattle Seahawks, because he's their guy? The X factor to me, though, for the Eagles, the guy I do not want to see, the guy that scares
Please
me.
Please don't say it.
Doug Peterson.
Oh, that's not what
their coach is a gangster in the playoffs, super aggressive play caller, calls games how you would want to have your playoff game called, right? He's very aggressive.
Can also be his own understanding me doing that.
He throws the kitchen sink at you. And that's something that you can't prepare for. Plus, there's just an experience factor there that both of these teams have. But of late, we've seen the Eagles walk into places and upset teams, where I think we've seen now that Seattle's very beatable. They're banged up. The 49ers are superiorly better, talented team than the Seattle Seahawks. I firmly believe that. And especially with a week off, getting guys like Jaquaski Tartt back, getting a D Ford back, maybe even a Quan Alexander.
And we'll talk about that in a little bit. That's a storyline that we need to monitor.
I just think that you can beat them, as scary as Russell Wilson is. But I still, like, the Eagles just, I'm not counting them off. I'm not discounting them, where every team from the NFC East goes, you just laugh at them, right? Like, they limped into the playoffs. They're not a real playoff team. Their record is whatever.
We've seen them heat up in the playoffs.
They won four straight, yeah. And last year, two seasons.
We saw it again last year. Who is it that dropped that ball? Aguilar,
right?
Nelson Aguilar, yeah. Thank you. And then all the jokes in the news, and that guy got the baby out there.
Yeah, hilarious.
The burning building.
Hilarious.
I mean, that's just Philadelphia for you. But, I mean, if I want to play the Eagles if I'm a Niners fan. If I am the 49ers, I want to play the Eagles. You don't want to see your division opponent for a third time. Perfect example. You're wearing a Dolphins jersey right now. I'm wearing a Patriots jersey right now.
Yeah.
What did we see last week? A debacle in Foxborough. And that's because your division opponents, your division rivals, always know who you are. And keep in mind, they've played twice this year. Both have come down to the wire. 3 points and a couple inches. That was everything.
How much of a factor does this play into things? I want to ask you, and I want to ask the audience out there too. Are there 49er fans sitting there right now going, we want Seattle because we want to be the team that took them out? We want to play the best. We want to eliminate them. We want to shut down Pete Carroll. We want to stop Russell Wilson in the playoffs. We want to put that nail into their coffin.
888-957-9570. That's the number to answer that question. Do you want the pure competitiveness in sports of the Niners playing the Seahawks to prove that, look,
the heavyweight fight?
It ends the draw. Mm. They're 1-1 right now.
Yeah.
Do you want that competitive nature in you to be the result of how the Niners play next week? Do you want that to be their opponent? Or do you want the easier route, the safer guaranteed route to the Super Bowl? Or I should say, the more guaranteed route to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He's Tommy Call. I'm Nash Solomon. It's Wild Card Weekend, baby, right here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game. Here are your hosts, Nash Solomon and Tommy Call.
Yes, sir. Back here at 95.7 The Game. Nash Solomon, Tommy Call. We're here till 4 p.m. We got you from 1 to 4 p.m. We got Grant Cohn tapping in around 2:20. He's going to check in with us, Tommy. I think he's going to give us a little update on what he thinks Quan Alexander should do.
Yeah.
I saw that you sent me a tweet earlier. Quan Alexander reached out to J.J. Watt today to try to get some advice on playing with the torn pec and what procedures he should go through.
Their injury was 4 days away. So J.J. Watt's scheduled to play in a couple minutes when that game with the Texans kicks off. So we could potentially see a Quan Alexander back. But there's a lot of stuff J.J. Watt had to go through. So that's why I'm excited to talk to Grant, because he's there at practice. He's talked to Quan Alexander.
And Grant keeps it real.
Yeah, and he'll tell us what kind of effect he'll have, because, hey, Nasher, that linebacking corps is pretty sick, even without Quan. I understand the guy brings a whole different level to the field emotionally, and he's a baller. I'm not saying that he's going to hurt their linebacking corps, but at the same time, they've, like, Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw stepped up in a big way. So if he's not 100%, in my opinion, you unleash him in the NFC Championship game or the Super Bowl when he's fully healthy.
Yeah, I think that's a conversation we have to have, and that's something we'll tap in on in about 10 minutes. I want to get to these calls first.
Yes,
so in
sir.
10 minutes, I want to dive in on the conversation hard. At this point, Quan Alexander on the field, Would he be a liability or a luxury?
Yeah.
And we'll explain more of that in about 10 minutes. Let's get to the phone lines, because the phone lines want to tap in on who the Niners should play. Let's go to Dave in Burlingame. Dave, who do you want the 49ers to play next weekend?
Dave, you there?
Going once.
Oh, sorry, guys. Hey, listen, so I got to have Seattle, man. Obvious reasons. If we don't get Seattle, everyone's going to say, oh, well, Seattle, what are, you know, the Niners would have not won if Seattle came to town. You guys, I know you guys don't want Seattle, but as a Niner fan, I wanted to see a look on Pete Carroll's face when we beat him again.
So you're saying you want them just so they can't have that in the back of their head saying, well, the Seahawks would have beat the Niners.
Yeah, but I still want it back. I mean, you know what? You got to slay the dragon, man. You know, and so he's still talking about the PI call last week, right?
Nothing scares you about playing Russell Wilson and company for a third time this year?
You know what? Bring it.
Ooh,
I love it. Thanks for the call, Dave.
I like it.
That's good energy.
Yeah, I think there is a small quadrant of the 49er fan base that feels that way. That, like, let's get it done one last time. Let's end the debate. The pass interference call. I wasn't even thinking about that. He brought that up where Pete Carroll and Seattle fans, and they're crying about that. You know, that Fred Warner PI on Hollister at the end. That was a bang-bang play. Let's be honest with you. That's the type of play that if you're on the other side of it, you don't want anything to decide the end of a game of that magnitude. You don't want the yellow flag on the field in such a pivotal moment of the game. When a play that was, it was bang bang. It just was what it was, in my opinion. That it was very close. It could have gone either way. For once, the referees bit on the flags, and I can respect that because that's how I want to watch football.
You think it should have been reviewed though?
If that's probably.
If that's a playoff game, you think it should be reviewed?
Probably, but that just sucks. That's just what sucks about officiating in the NFL. It's just
we're
it's never
to live
consistent.
In a perfect world,
it's never consistent, and these guys make these decisions. Keenan Allen tweeted about it today that, you know, these guys are making decisions back in, you know, drinking coffee in their office, watching a television screen, making, you know, calls in pivotal moments.
That's true. I didn't even think of it like that. Yeah. You don't really feel the emotion or the tension that's involved in one game.
Yeah, Ryan Covey said he could do it himself in 10 seconds, make every call on first watch.
We should hire Ryan Covey to be the next great official then.
Yeah, I think so too.
You think we should hire Covey?
Yeah, I said I'll be his assistant. I'll help him get hired.
So you're just grabbing the coffee for him?
Yeah, whatever he needs.
Can I get
10 seconds or less, one guy, and it's fully transparent as to why he made the decision? Let's get it.
So you took the Eagles stance. You don't want to play the Eagles?
I just think that...
Carson Wentz and company scarier than Russell Wilson and company.
No, I think Doug Peterson and company.
Okay, so
Doug
Peterson.
I think Pete Carroll's made multiple mistakes in the playoffs where we obviously know him passing the ball, the interception against the Patriots to seal the deal for your squad. Last week, they get a delay of game in one of the biggest moments of the year where you have Marshawn Lynch jogging out on the field. You can't get your team ready in that situation.
I think it was
intentional. You don't have two plays called. Why would it be intentional?
Well, I don't know.
I'd stop you there. Why?
No, not necessarily fully intentional, but a part of me believes that Pete Carroll thought they could have a better chance 5 yards back.
No way.
Well, you get four guaranteed passing throws. If you run the ball in the one, clock's going to run out.
Nah.
I mean, I don't think he said, I want to back up. And I think Pete's decision time kind of thing, you know what?
Yeah.
Let's just take the delay
exactly.
Of game.
So to me.
Like, he accepted the delay of game knowing at least we're going to get four chances at the end zone. Whereas you're on the 1 yard line, if they run it, I mean, they had no timeouts at that point, right?
Yeah.
I think game's over.
Nah, I think that you send Marshawn Lynch over the top. That's why you bring him here. That's why you sign him to Seattle.
Right, and Pete Carroll couldn't do that again.
Exactly, and he makes multiple bad decisions where Doug Peterson's going to pull some stuff out that you haven't seen this year. That Carson Wentz, who knows how good he could be in the playoffs. This guy has, at one point in his career, played at an MVP level.
He has not been in the playoffs yet, correct?
No, he's 0-0. Well, he's been hurt.
Yeah,
he's been hurt.
He's missed both opportunities.
So we don't know what he could be.
Well,
and he's been playing. And think about this. So, in every way, shape, or form, the Seattle Seahawks have limped into the playoffs. They've lost two games, both games kind of disheartening losses where you're like, seriously, how it ended against the 49ers? And think back, you let Brett Hundley beat you
My guy, by
home,
the way, be careful.
At home, the Arizona Cardinals, without Kyler Murray, seals the deal against you. That's two straight losses. Where you flip on the other side with the Eagles, they have four wins in a row. Then they're hosting a playoff game. You get a little swagger from that. I'm a momentum guy. I think teams playing hot in the...
I agree with that 100%. I will say this, though. I got to take the exact opposite side of you, which we usually do.
Yeah.
We usually, and this time I'm not doing it just to troll you. I really think you do not want to play...
Wait, we do that here? You do that?
I think me and you like to get in each other's skin.
Yeah.
I think there's no way in hell that you want to play Seattle. And that's because... this team, you talk about momentum, Seattle always has that in the playoffs. Mm. And they always finish the year strong. It's ironic that this year was one of their better seasons under Pete Carroll, and they couldn't finish the year strong. Yeah. And granted, they played the Niners one of those games, and they probably could have, should have, would have won. We don't know. But there's no way you're comfortable as a 49er fan playing the Seahawks, knowing what they can do, knowing that they're capable of coming into Levi's, and they're capable of sending you home in what could be your sole playoff game. Your only playoff game. You got to take the easiest route possible when you're the 49ers, because you got to understand that this team's inexperienced. I mean, this team has no playoff experience whatsoever other than Richard Sherman. And Richard Sherman's played great. What, second team all NFL, just announced the other day. I mean, you can't be comfortable with Pete Carroll, Russ Wilson coming into your house. I mean, these are your rivals. This is Darth Vader. Like, they're coming in.
The boogeyman.
The boogeyman. Yeah. Any analogy you can make, like, this is the worst possible scenario for the 49ers, and it's unfortunate that it's one of the most likely possibilities.
Yeah, I don't know. I think just because of how banged up they are, how tired they potentially could be, where you're resting, and if everything you said is true, and Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers defense and Robert Saleh wants to become a head coach, who I'm sure we're going to talk about again at some point later on in the program. But if he wants to become a head coach, this is kind of your crowning moment, right? This is the guy where this is that game where you go, I'm not letting a team we've played twice already this year like out scheme me. You're going to set up the perfect game plan, having all this time to prepare, and you get Dee Ford and you get Jaquaski Tartt back for this game. Two big X factors. I mean, I think you could make the argument that through this season, you've lost Mike McGlinchey. You've lost Joe Staley. You've even lost George Kittle at times. Every week they lost one of those guys, someone else has stepped up, right? We've heard about Justin School, Daniel Brunskill, Ross Dwelly. They've all had their moments. But losing Jaquaski Tartt really hampered this team. No one could fill the role that he's done. So I think he's a complete X factor for the defense. You're getting that guy back. I feel a little comfortable with Seattle, where Philly, there's just something about them. In the playoffs, they just have a little swagger to them. And I see some people chirping in on the text line about they barely beat Chicago last year. Matt Nagy out.
I don't want to hear about last year, though. Yeah. To be honest,
well, no, I think this is a good point, though. So, you know, from the 415, Matt Nagy outcoached Doug Peterson last year in the playoffs. I think that's a good point. That did happen, but stuff falls the Eagles' way in the playoffs. The fact that they had multiple missed kicks, double doinks, there's something about that. Now, sure, you're a Patriot fan. You know that better than anybody. Sometimes these teams that have that little bit of swagger, have that little bit of extra culture around them, whatever it is, they get the ball and the moment to swing their way in games they probably don't deserve to win.
But here's the thing. It's safe to say the 49ers' weakest link, if we had to pick one, is probably the secondary. Are you comfortable saying that?
Yeah.
And what's the weakest link in all of the playoffs right now? The Eagles' receiving core.
Yeah.
It's literally falling
that's a good point.
In the 49ers' lap.
That's a good point.
Like, if there's any
Greg Ward. Yeah.
If there's any perfect matchup that you want, it's that receiving core going against your secondary. Because everything else for the Niners, they check that. They check off all the boxes. We have a better defense. Our O-line's better. The running game's better. Quarterback's better.
You're making a lot of sense. You're making a lot of sense, and I completely agree with you. And to the people out there listening who say, I want to play the Eagles. It's the easier road. I get that. I totally get where you're coming from there. You make a lot of sense. There's a lot of good arguments to be made. What I'm basically getting at here and kind of what this whole spiel means is just don't sleep on the Eagles. They're dangerous. You can feel that, right, Nash? You've seen you think that's a walkthrough.
I agree with that.
You think that's a walkthrough. What do you think the line would be in that game if it happens here in Levi's Stadium?
In Santa Clara?
Yeah, 6?
Yeah, I'd play 6.5 or 7.
Wow.
I think they understand.
See, I think that's a little high. Like, I think realistically, that's a 3.5 spread.
Because
I just think that game will be close. I think
it also depends
the Eagles
on what happens
will empty
tomorrow.
The tank. Yeah.
It depends on what happens tomorrow. I think
the Eagles win. I really do.
If they blow out Seattle, then of course
in my pick, I might have the
let's
Eagles.
Make our picks while we're here.
Okay.
So first game on the docket, Buffalo and Houston, really quickly, because we got some calls waiting for us that are dying to talk.
Yeah, I see Rob and Tom and everybody.
Yeah, we got DeJuan.
The whole squad.
I'm taking Buffalo. You taking Buffalo or Houston?
I'm going Houston. I think Houston rolls. I think Josh Allen to me. This is my thing on Josh Allen. I told you I have a Josh Allen take, and I heard you and JD and some of the other guys talking about Josh Allen. He is your epitome of a highlight quarterback. What that means is he makes the big highlight, he'll make the big throw, he'll make the big run, but he'll miss 10 others throughout the game that lose you the game, that does not make ESPN. That's what's wrong with Josh Allen, that he will lose you games throwing the football.
Buffalo in a low-scoring game, but I like the defense.
I'm a big Cam Newton fan. You know that. I love Cam Newton. Loved him. he is the polar opposite of Cam Newton, where all the special things that Cam did, he didn't get shown on highlight films and highlight tapes and things like that because they just wanted to show the flashy runs. They wanted to see him jumping over the thing. But the decision-making, the throwing of the football, the electric arm that Cam Newton had during his MVP year, that stuff never really got shown. Where Josh Allen, to me, it's just the polar opposite of that, where you see him turf throws, you see him overthrow guys. I mean, it's really like, he's just inconsistent, wildly inconsistent, and I think that can be exposed on the national scale in the playoffs. So that's why I'm all in on Deshaun Watson.
National TV, Josh has played great. You saw Thanksgiving. And
against the Steelers on Monday Night Football,
and
too.
And he played well against the Patriots on that Saturday.
Yeah, but he also lost them a couple games, missing wide open touchdown passes to tie that game up.
Well, I like Buffalo for their D in a low scoring game. I'm rolling Buffalo. You're going Houston?
I'm going Houston.
Okay, you like to say the quote, stay true to the brand?
Stay true to the brand.
So you're wearing a Tannehill jersey.
I am.
You have to take Tennessee.
I have to take Tennessee, but just a quick, Spinoni, clip this part out after I say it. I picked the Patriots earlier.
So I'll give you the Patriots if you want. We can both take the Patriots.
No, I'm going Titans.
I love that about you. So we're both on polar opposite. So you have... Okay, so you actually took one of the favorites. We're both one dog, one favorite. Yeah. Seattle at Philly. You're taking Philly?
I'm taking Philly.
Because you say you want the Niners to play them?
I'm not saying that. I think they just beat Seattle. I think Seattle's truly limping into the playoffs. And the person saying that the Eagles have limped into the playoffs, they won four straight. What?
Well, we'll touch on that in a second. Yeah. They've also played some very bad football teams.
So what? That's a dub's a dub.
You're right about that. A win is a win. You are what your record says you are. I'm taking Seattle, so we've split everything. This is perfect. Minnesota, New Orleans. I'm taking New Orleans.
This is an easy one. I think they cover the spread, too. 8 points.
Yeah. It's at 7.5 right
seven
now.
And
last
a half?
I
okay,
saw.
When I saw it was 8.
You taking the 8?
Yeah, I'm taking it, too. I think they cover easily. Yeah, I have no faith in Kirk Cousins.
So if our picks go as planned, which we're usually right about these things, we're good.
Yeah.
We're really
even
good.
Though we're on the opposite spectrum.
Well, that one we'll be right about.
Yeah,
I guess. So you have Philly coming to town next week, and I have Seattle coming to town next week.
I do.
You going to be down there?
I hope so. I think we're doing a show after, too.
Why can't they set us up down there at the Hilton?
I don't know. We can make that happen. Let's be out. Let's get out there.
Yeah, we're the post-game
show. Post-game. Ooh.
Yeah, post-game show.
We should pitch that.
Maybe we can do a little crosstalk. You think they'd let us on 49ers post?
No doubt. I've been there in the building when it's happened. I've been at every home game this season. So if you're a 49er fan out there listening right now, you need to send your boy there. I'm good luck, baby.
Yeah, you've written some good content for our website,
too.
Yeah,
I've been there every home game.
Speaking
so I need
content,
to be there. You don't want to throw the feng shui off if I'm not in the building.
Well, speaking of content, you know who brings some of the best content to this station?
Who?
My girl Robin in San Francisco.
True.
Robin in San Francisco. What you got, baby?
Hi, you guys. Happy holidays from here. Happy New Year, whatever we're in. Listen, guys, I understand
what you're
saying about Philly. Philly being one of them Yankee teams, like the Suns coming in beating the Warriors. But in my mind, Seattle has the most luck on Yankee stuff that I've seen. How many games have they won this year? I forgot the stat that somebody threw out there when they shouldn't have won, especially in their home field. But,
yeah, I know they're 7-1 on the road this year.
Yeah, but for me, hey, regardless if the Niners was my team or not, I want the easiest role possible. Let's face it, luck and health plays a part in winning, okay? And that's just a fact. I would like to face Philadelphia, not because I sell them short, but because when you look at the team and match it up, it seems like the opponent we would want to win. And anyone who goes by the logic that they want to shut the noise up that we wouldn't have won if Seattle would win. It's just crazy because obviously Seattle is not good enough to get past Philadelphia. Okay? So that's some logic that just defies
facts.
Me.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, and I just wanted to put that out there. Go Niners, bang, bang, Niner gang. And everybody's counting us out. Everybody, I listen to this Fox News late at night, guys who I can't stand, Clay Matthews and all those guys. Nobody picks the Niners. Nobody picks the Niners. Nobody on national TV who I can stomach longer than up than 5 minutes to listen to because they all remind me of Nancy Grace. None of them pick the Niners. Go Niners.
Hey, Robin, real quick before you go, I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
All right, I don't want to switch up the topics too much, but I got to ask you, Carl Anthony Towns to the Bay, are you in?
No.
Mic drop. Love it.
Oh, she dropped with the
Robin
soft.
Robin in San Francisco, one of the most polarizing and famous callers we have on this station.
Did you? That's why I wanted to ask her about Carl Anthony Towns. No.
No.
Soft. You have to get that one, Joe. You have to get that as a drop. No. I mean, soft.
But Robin,
it's just a two-word mic drop.
Robin always keeps it real, though. And Hermo's valid point was, you don't want to make this hard on the Niners. Mm. If you make it hard, it's only going to make it harder as you go each week in and
I just
week
think
out.
It's a little bit of a double-edged sword. I think that the difference between the Eagles and the Seattle Seahawks, the problems that they could cause here in Levi's Stadium, and I understand it's Russell Wilson. If you would rather play, this is the easiest end of the debate for me. If you'd rather play Carson Wentz or Russell Wilson, who would you pick? Obviously, 10 times out of 10, you are picking Carson Wentz in that game.
And you're the one off. You're saying you always pick Carson Wentz?
Yeah, you want to play
me.
I'm talking more about the team, but if this is a quarterback matchup one-on-one, you don't want to see Russell Wilson. So anybody out there
though, you're a big Wentz guy.
I am, but anybody that goes to me and says, Tommy, I don't want to play Russell Wilson. I get it. I totally get
that.
And
I think that's where this all starts.
Yeah, I totally get that. The guy's as good as it gets, but you look at the surrounding cast that the Seattle has right now with a ton of injuries. Pete Carroll, I just don't believe in much as a coach. Schottenheimer is their OC.
Doesn't scare you?
No, not at all. Where Jim Schwartz and Doug Peterson and what they can do and the experience that they have over there, that to me is just a little icky. And I just don't know what Carson Wentz is. That's why tomorrow's such a big game. That's why 49er fans need to be popping their collar, first off, because you got the first round bye, but you need to be watching that game closely. Figure out your enemy.
I mean, I do think there is a fear factor involved about the unknown. Uh-huh. Like, you don't know who Carson Wentz is in the playoffs. Similar, we don't know what Jimmy Garoppolo is in the playoffs yet. But I still think the fact, you know, everything about Russell Wilson and what he's done and how he's played in big games and what you said it right when Robin was talking. They're 7-1 on the road this year.
Yeah, so they can travel.
That was their one road loss earlier in the year.
Yeah.
I believe they lost
LA.
To, thank you, yes.
Yeah, was that the Thursday night game with the Russell Wilson?
Yes.
That throw from Wilson
Sunday
to
night football.
Thursday night.
I thought they're in it was Thursday night football. They're in Los Angeles.
Maybe. I don't know. Whatever it was where they were in the neon green unis and Russell hit Lock in the back of the end zone, that might have been one of the most impressive throws I've ever seen in my life.
You're right. That was way early in the year. You're
yeah,
right about that.
That was crazy. It was on my birthday. That's all I remember.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you.
Happy late birthday.
Congratulations.
A few months late. Yeah, way to make it all about you.
Well, I remember I was awesome. Like on my birthday, getting to watch an awesome football game because that game was sick. I think Zuerlein missed the field goal at the end, right? Is that how it ended? Something I would have.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Yeah, because that was the first Rams.
I may or may
matchup.
Not have had Rams that game or Ooh. Seattle in that game, and I may or not have lost my bet because of Greg the Leg, who's Greg the No More.
No more.
But I mean, it's just tough considering what the Seahawks can do coming into the Bay Area, because what they've done, what their history says.
Yeah,
and I don't like getting all the semantics of like, well, history says this, history says that.
This is a different team. We talked about that last time. You were saying none of those guys are here anymore.
Yeah, it's a way different team. But right now, what I've seen literally, and when was the first time these two teams played? Was it in October?
It was late in the year.
Yeah, so they've played twice in the last maybe 2 months. Mm. And these teams are still pretty similar teams in the past 2 months as they are now. Yes, injuries and adversity all played a factor.
November 12th.
So November 12th and December 22nd?
Wow. Yeah.
So two games literally in under 2 months, that's pretty much the same team. And we saw how close both those games were. I mean, I don't know if Niner fans or the Niners, their heart can handle another game like that.
Do you kind of, though?
I was on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, I was too. That's what made this so special. That's why I'm sitting here now and saying, let's get round three.
We would love to see
let's
that,
get
but
the
for the
trilogy
sake of the Niners.
Fight. Yeah, I get it. I get what Robin's saying, the easiest route as a 49er fan, what you want. But what I'm talking about is as a football fan, why we're getting excited for wild card weekend and the divisional rounds that are coming up, why these are some of the most fun football watching experiences of the year. I think every football fan wants to see the 49ers go through Seattle, and then they want to see New Orleans come for the NFC Championship. Because that would just, it just seems tailor-made. It seems poetic.
Because those are the two games of the year?
Yeah, it seems poetic that those games would happen,
so
right?
What's the exact opposite of that? You get Minnesota next week, and then you play like Green Bay in the NFC Championship? Because you blew them out earlier
or
this
Philly.
Year.
That's what you could play Philly,
oh,
right?
That's true.
And that would be the truly easiest route.
Yeah, why are there not more Vikings stands here?
I don't think anybody believes in Kirk Cousins, man. I don't think anybody believes in Kirk.
I don't know if you can believe in Kirk Cousins, but if Kirk Cousins plays himself a game tomorrow, does the whole narrative change? Because narratives are always based off recency bias.
Yeah.
And you're making the perfect example of it. I'm not saying because you've never not believed in Wentz because you've always been a Wentz guy, but your biggest case is what he's done in recent weeks.
Yeah.
And that's how the narratives have changed about the Eagles.
Well, I think this season you can make that case for Wentz, where he had some times where you're like, ugh, where you're blowing me up in the text message on the group chat. Oh, your boy Wentz sucks, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because he looked horrible.
In fairness, I've always said we don't know who Wentz is still.
And he looked horrible multiple times this year. Yeah. But late in the season, he's put some stuff together where I don't think he's looked in any essence elite. He doesn't look like a guy that scares me, but he's just played better, if that makes sense. Where at one point this guy was playing
special in your eyes.
Yeah, I think it's that arm talent. The arm talent's incredible.
Like accuracy, and strength, yeah, combination.
The strength more so than anything. I mean, he's truly an electric arm.
Like, is he a high IQ guy in your eyes?
Yes.
I feel like he makes a lot of bonehead interceptions.
He's a little bit of a gunslinger, but I still think he tried. His eyes are always down the field. That's why I think I like that. The little bit of a cowboy to his game, where it's like, that's why he's fun to watch.
That's interesting. I think just something about Russell Wilson scares me 10 times more.
I agree with that. I'm just talking about the whole team. And I think that, like, we have some interesting callers here who I think it's weird because Steven and I did a show at the beginning of the week. I think it was Monday after the 49ers win. And I kind of made my case for them to want to play Seattle again. An overwhelming amount of people hit me up saying, no way, you have to play Philly. Philly's the easier route. You're crazy if you want to play the Seahawks instead of Philadelphia. Well, now today, almost a week later, we're sitting here Saturday in the same seat that I'm sitting in, and I'm seeing a lot of people say they want to play Seattle again.
I think that's just part of pure competitiveness in individuals.
Yeah.
We're up against it here, but we got Eric, Tom, DeJuan. They're all on the phone lines.
I like that name, Tom. That's a good name.
I do too. It's Tom Brady Day, baby. I want you guys all to stay there. I promise we will get to you guys. We got a lot to unpack today. The Niners are on their bye week. It's wild card weekend. Today's not about the games that you guys have to watch, but the football fan in you, we know you're watching. So if you want to call in and just give a little quick take on what you are watching today, just because you're a pure fan of an individual or not, by all means, go ahead. But what we really care about, what we really want you to call in, is Eagles or Seahawks. Who do you want? Or does a part of you say you want to see Minnesota come in? Do you want to see Minnesota with a big upset and take out New Orleans? 888-957-9570. That's the number to holler at us, so please stay there. 95795, that's our Chilton Autobody text line. He's Tom McCall. I'm Nat Shulman. This is 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game. Here are your hosts, Nat Shulman and Tommy Call.
Is my boy Joe Spadoni behind the glass trying to set me and you up to rumble right now?
Well, Spadoni knows when I'm on the air that this song needs to play.
Well, I think it's like a metaphor. He's trying to get me and you to brawl right now.
The North Bay Rattlesnake. That's what people call me.
No, they do not. Who calls you that?
I'm just making stuff up.
By the way, speaking of the North Bay, the 707 has not tapped in today.
Oh, I haven't given a shout-out to my people yet. The 707 Sun is on the air. They're always with me. Whenever I talk, even Phil Mo Mike before the show was like, 707, say it backwards, baby.
That's 707, that's hard. Yeah. Shout out Phil Mo Mike, by the way. He's producing mine in the glass for us. We got my guy, Joe Macaroni Spadoni, new father, just spent his first Christmas and his first New Year's with his little guy. So I got to give credit when it's due. That's my guy right there.
Yeah.
What I will tell you is I do not appreciate that music.
You don't like it?
I know me and you go at it like Skip and Stephen A in their prime, which we are the new Skip and Stephen A. We're way better than what they can do in a debate. But just know, I'm the greatest debater on the planet, Tommy. You cannot hang with me. So I'm going to tell you right now, don't let him play that music to cue you up for that, man.
I like it. It gets me fired up. It gets me going. It gets me to a place where I need to be.
That's because blasphemous.
I see we got some people on the phone lines. They want to come down our road. It gets me where I need to go. No. And I think, honestly, too, when the people driving around in their car, they hear the Stone Cold music coming through, it gets them fired up.
It gets them ready to run through a brick wall. Kind of
yes,
like
sir.
If anybody was on Twitter today, they saw what Tom Brady posted. That video was miraculous.
You love that video.
I was ready to run through a brick wall once I saw Edelman's. After I saw both of them, it was confirmed.
Whoever is on, if you haven't seen it, go on Twitter, Facebook, whatever, Instagram. The Patriots video production staff, they make these pump-up videos. I'm not a Patriots fan at all. They're wild.
Are they better than LSU's? Because LSU
team too. LSU's is the best. LSU's is
really?
The best. Yeah. That's must follow. You almost have to turn the notifications on because they get – I cannot wait.
You did not put your notifications on for LSU football Twitter.
I cannot wait for the national championship preview video.
Go Tigers.
That's good timing. No, the crazy thing about the Patriots one is they're always almost like scary.
Yeah.
Like there's like a weird aura about them. Yeah, it almost makes you uncomfortable. Like I woke up literally laying in bed and I'm hearing someone talk about a tiger and I see videos of a tiger and then I see Tom Brady and I'm like, what is this correlation?
Yeah.
We're getting off the rails here, though.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Watch the Patriots stuff. It makes me a little queasy.
And we're back. Oh, right here. 707's happening. Tim out here in the 707. American Canyon listening. He loves us. Tim, we love you, too.
We love you, Tim. Shout out to the 707, baby.
What we also love is our loyal callers.
Yeah.
We got to get back to the phone lines because they want to chime in.
I see
Eagles
a pretty good name on there.
Seahawks. Eagles or Seahawks. And that's who's on deck. Tom, San Francisco. Who should the Niners play?
So I want to get back to the previous comment about the wanting a heavyweight fight, or as Dave in Burlingame said, slay the dragon. I just think that's ridiculous. Nobody remembers how hard the path was. What matters is whose name is on the Lombardi Trophy.
Wow.
So
I like that.
I want whoever wins with their QB knocked out in the last play of the game. I want the easiest damn path. And while I was waiting on hold, I'm looking up some trivia here a little bit. But like, you look at the Giants run in 2011. The Giants were outscored in the regular season, 394 to 400. But what do we all remember? They beat the Pats.
That's all that mattered.
No one gives a crap about how you got there.
That's an amazing point. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, I think that's a nice point. I think that's a good perspective to have. I think that's a very balanced way to do it. I think that Nash, you and I, we don't fake it when we're up here on the microphone. We're fans at the end of the day. We love screaming at screaming at the TV, screaming at the radio, whatever it is. We get worked up very easily when we're watching our favorite teams or whatever the case may be. A side of me, I understand why that crowd says, let's play the best. You have to be the best to beat the best. Let's take out Seattle one last time. Just because I think that's common for fans. Even if it's crazy, and some fans, some callers, like Tom just said, made a fabulous point. That's crazy to think that. Butch is texting us. He's saying he doesn't want to see Seattle again. I understand.
Butch is always texting us.
I understand what people mean by that, but I also think you have to give a shout out to the people out there who want, you know, like our first caller of the day.
But you can only control what you can control.
Yeah.
And
we're talking about hypotheticals.
Right. But what I'm saying is Tom made a great point. Like, all people are going to remember is if you won. And it doesn't matter who they beat.
Yeah.
Now, sure, maybe some haters like me and you out there in the world, well, they're lucky they didn't play Seattle, blah, blah, blah.
They could beat the Vikings, they could beat the Eagles, and no one would care.
But guess what? At the end of the day, what's the ultimate goal? Probably in all of sports, not just football. It's the Super Bowl.
Baby.
That's all that matters. We will end all these questions about Jimmy Garoppolo, Kyle Shanahan, 28-3 in the Super Bowl. Like, all that's dead the second the Niners are able to win a Super Bowl. And it doesn't matter who they beat. They could have the easiest route possible. What, Minnesota, Philly, and who's the worst team in the AFC that you'd want to play?
Buffalo.
Yeah,
maybe Houston. Yeah.
At that
Tennessee,
point, those teams are probably hot.
I mean, Tennessee's hot, though, is the thing.
Houston
and Buffalo, I think the teams playing those are the ones.
And at that point, those teams are probably hot themselves, if that's the case.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's not like that Super Bowl is less impressive as one that would require going through Seattle and then New Orleans and then Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, the hottest team in sports right now. That doesn't matter. Mm. At the end of the day, a Super Bowl is a Super Bowl, right?
I agree with you. No, I agree. I agree. And I don't think that, like that person said, we're making a lot of this matchup leading up to it, like Tom said from San Francisco. We're making a lot of this matchup because that's what we're looking forward to now. A week from now, if the 49ers advance, no one goes, their ranking deserves to go up. Their Super Bowl will mean more because they beat the Seattle Seahawks on the way.
You know who the Patriots played a few years ago in the Super Bowl? On their route to the Super Bowl? They played Tennessee. They played Jacksonville.
Yeah, Blake Bortles, the boat.
They played Blake Bortles and Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
Nobody cared. I mean, it doesn't matter. It literally just doesn't matter. Yeah. At the end of the day, a Super Bowl is a Super Bowl. So I really want to know. Let's get back to the phone lines. I mean, it sounds like
we got some people lining up, and we've gotten mixed reviews. Yeah, it's varying takes of who people want to play.
Yeah, let's get back to the phone lines. Let's get out to Eric in the city. Eric, who do you want the 49ers to play? What's the more guaranteed route? What's the more interesting route?
Every 49er fan should want the Vikings because for the simple fact that they'll knock out the Saints. I mean, let's just be real.
Ooh, facts. Didn't even think about
that. Probably not going to happen. I would say bring in the Eagles because that'll mean that they'll come off of a black and blue game at home, you know it's going to be a big hitting game for one, and they'll be coming off a short week, and I'd love to see their statuesque quarterback go against our revamped pass rush with everybody coming back and everybody rested and ready to go. Go 49ers, show us the Eagles if this is not Minnesota.
Thank you, Eric. Wow. Appreciate the call. My favorite thing about his call, he said, it won't be the Vikings. That's probably not going to happen because it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
And there's really no
makes
better.
Makes a lot of sense.
No, but there's really no better way of explaining it. Like, it really probably won't happen because that's likely not going to happen.
Yeah.
I see a good text from the Chilton Alibi text line, too. From the 415, they said, it's not true that the past doesn't matter. People have delegitimized the Warriors championships because of injuries of other teams, and they'll do it if the Niners have an easy path. You want to win, and you want to win tough games against the best competition because people do remember that stuff. Of course, people remember, oh, that was a pretty tough, impressive playoff round if you do play tough opponents. But if you walk through these less impressive opponents, and you're still winning the Super Bowl. You're still not going to say jack.
And to compare the Warriors, I think he's talking about the year that the first year where they beat Cleveland, where there was no Kyrie.
And
no
those guys
Kevin
got hurt in the finals.
Yeah, and so that would be like, I think, if you're going against the Patriots and there's no Julian Edelman and it's just Tom Brady and a bunch of guys, right? No Sony Michel, no Stephon Gilmore, none of those guys. All those guys are banged up. That's why I think you could make that argument here. But early on, and for a team, think about it too. We haven't really talked about the experience factor, Nasher, that goes into these games that – the 49ers, in comparison to the Eagles and the Seattle Seahawks, both of those teams have been there consistently over these last, you know, several years now. It feels like, at least. I know the Eagles, you know, they're relatively new, but they still have deep playoff run experience. Where at the top to the bottom of the roster, this is fairly new stuff for the 49ers. You have your guys like Sherm and Emmanuel Sanders and Joe Staley and guys like that, that, yeah, they have a little bit of experience, but the dudes at the top, Jimmy Garoppolo, Kyle Shanahan, they've been to Super Bowls. But does that really count? Does that really count?
Jimmy Garoppolo does not count being in the Super Bowl.
Kyle Shanahan?
Yes. He called plays in a big-time game. And I think we do need to hold close to us the fact of how he let the Super Bowl slide away from him.
That mistake you think could benefit him in the long run?
Yeah, I think he's always going to wear that with a chip on his shoulder. It kind of created a template. We like talking about templates and blueprints. Yeah. It created a template or a blueprint for himself.
Of what not to do.
Exactly. What not to do. How to handle a game. Don't take your foot off the gas. What have they done all year? They never take the foot off the gas. Nope. At least in the games that they've been up.
Yeah.
The games that they've been up. By the way, we mentioned earlier that you needed the 707 to tap in. What did you call yourself? The 707 what?
You said
the 707 snake or something? What was your?
Oh, rattlesnake. Yeah,
the 707 rattlesnake. The second we mentioned the 707, this is all that happens. Just text message after text message, bro. Text message after text message.
People question it. People act like it's a joke that I make my mentions of the 707.
I love that you're eating your cutie orange right now into the mic. It's really appetizing.
Sorry.
Tommy brought in some great cuties, so I had to mention it. We wanted to give a shout out to you.
Oh, that's what this is for?
Yeah, our girl,
you're
Amanda.
You're not just putting me on blast right now?
No, we got the 707. I want to give them their love because obviously you're a 707 guy. When they tap in, we got to do it.
Yeah.
707 here and listening. Love you guys. Happy New Year. We love you guys too.
Yeah.
We also got the 707 bringing in some takes right here.
Ooh,
as a football fan and not a 49er fan, I want the best matchups, like Saints and Seahawks and Ravens. Shout out from Napa. Follow me on Twitter, at Napa Kyle.
Wow.
That's a text right there.
Yeah.
That's a text.
That's a slice.
Back to the big
question.
I agree, though.
As a football fan, of course you want to see that. We're talking about right now the 49ers, what route they would want to go through to get here. And it's really a toss-up at this point. The more we talk about it, Nash, the more I see not wanting to see Seattle because, yeah, it's Russell Wilson. That's the main thing. If you have to pick a quarterback that you want to face, it's Russell Wilson or Carson Wentz. Or if you want to include Kirk Cousins into that, like, come on.
You want to play Minnesota. Well,
that's an easy landslide.
I think Minnesota's a better football team than Philadelphia.
I don't.
You said the Carson Wentz factor.
Yeah.
Minnesota's a complete football team. They can run the ball. They have a good defense at times. They have a quarterback that's maybe not great in big games, but he's capable of making plays. And look at the receiving tandem. Is that not the best receiving tandem in the playoffs?
It's one of the better ones, for sure.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely
Debo
up there.
And Emmanuel Sanders, they're hitting on it right now.
I got to include Kittle in there. At this point, I just call everybody a pass catcher.
Pass catcher.
Like the Patriots,
offensive weapon.
James White is probably one of their best receivers.
Yeah.
He's not listed as a receiver. But
man, what are you guys going to do with A.J. Brown, though? If we're going to talk about some of that guy is on a heater. heading into the playoffs right now.
Who's a better rookie in the playoffs right now? Are you going A.J. Brown or Debo?
A.J. or Debo? Man.
Who has a bigger role? I mean, they both, they're both serve sufficiently enough for their
offense.
Well,
I think A.J. Brown probably is the clear-cut number one to Corey Davis and whoever else they have there, Tajay Sharpe in Tennessee, where Debo has Emmanuel Sanders. That if Debo gets X'd out, that he could have Emmanuel Sanders, George Kittle set up. He plays off of those guys.
What team relies on the run more, you think? Tennessee or San
Tennessee
Francisco?
By a mile.
Yeah, so then there you go. That almost makes up for Debo's lack of in the receiving corps.
So I asked this yesterday when I was on with your boy Ryan Covey in the butcher shop last night right here on these very airwaves. I asked some of the listeners, and I asked one of our guests from Pro Football Focus, Sam Monson, how do you, and I want to know from
what is Sam Monson, does he follow?
He's a pro football focus analyst.
General,
he's
our national
lead analyst. And so I want to know from you, because last time we were on the air, we debated this. And
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.